The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show covering all the latest and greatest in the world of PlayStation. And I do mean latest because obviously we're on high alert for any possible PlayStation news breaking at any moment of the day, probably as soon as we're done recording, but, you know, hopefully while we're recording so we can actually tell you about it. We do, though, thankfully already have big PlayStation news to talk about this week, and we're going to get into it. That's, of course, the big PlayStation Plus sort of revitalization, evolution, change, and what is there, what isn't there, what we still don't know, and we're going to dig into all of that, plus some other news. But before we get there, I'm joined this week by Mark Medina.
Yeah, so Severance was insane.
It's just getting better and better.
This show, every episode, I think I know what's going on. This was probably the biggest, like, reveal at the end of the latest episode. I'm obviously not going to say what it was, but holy smokes. Also, I need everyone to know that I just finished The Morning Show, which is another Apple Plus TV show. That show is a roller coaster. So watch that if you need more television in between Severance. Only two more episodes of Severance, though.
We're going to have a rough time making a podcast beyond after Severance ends, but we'll find a way. Mark, I was going to ask, of course, at some point whether or not you just loved Severance because the main character is named Mark, but knowing you love The Morning Show, too, I know that's not the pattern.
Sure.
We're also joined this week by Jada Griffin.
Hey! It does. Morning Show does start with an M, though, so that would be tracked for Mark as well.
True.
For just feeding into his love for shows and characters.
And myself.
And himself.
Yeah. It's a vicious egotistical cycle. And we're also joined this week by Brian Altano. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Podcast Beyond is brought to you by Apple TV Plus. I think it's called. It comes free with some phones, and then it auto renews until you forget.
Yep. Brian's like, I haven't been on this podcast in a while.
No, I was going on. I was like, okay, I remember the parts where news constantly breaks the second we finish recording. That's tradition for Beyond. It's been that way for decades now. But I don't remember the part at the beginning where we talk about our favorite Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
TV Plus?
Apple TV Plus.
I don't know. Yeah. I always type in like Apple TV on the website and then it's like buy this device. And I'm like, I don't care about I want the streaming service. And on my iPad, if you type in Apple, nothing. You have to just type in TV. And that's when it shows. It's weird.
Okay, because obviously it's like Jonathan's built the whole show around this, but there's been like six new names exactly like this revealed by big companies in the last four or five days. So I'm just trying to keep up.
Yep, Apple TV tough. Plus, PlayStation Plus, GTA Plus, they're all adding the Plus. IGN Plus coming to you probably pretty soon.
But that's why we're here.
Exactly.
To make sense of it all.
I do. Before we move on from Apple TV Plus, I do just have to say this, since the Oscars just happened and CODA won Best Picture. I think it is so funny that the first streaming service to win a Best Picture for film is called Apple TV Plus. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's real dumb. Services are fun. Anyway, we do actually have PlayStation news to talk about this week, despite what you may think otherwise by our intro. We do actually have a big PlayStation change in the works. PlayStation announced, finally, after weeks of reports, rumors, pretty much all the information that we expected to know about this thing, we ended up being true, but we finally got information about the new sort of evolved form of PlayStation Plus. For those who have been following it, obviously we've talked about some of the rumors, the reports about certain tiers and pricing and availability. Turns out that was all pretty much spot on for this service, so hopefully we kept your expectations in check. There's still a lot we don't quite know about it, and we're going to dig into all of that as well. But just to briefly set the stage for what we do know, PlayStation Plus is changing in June. It's going to be three different tiers now that kind of combine PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Now, and a few other extra bells and whistles. PlayStation Plus Essential is going to be basically your PlayStation Plus subscription. So if you currently are subscribed to PS Plus, you don't have to change a thing. You'll still be on that membership tier. I believe it's the same price point as it is right now. That'll all pretty much be the same. Though we will get into one thing they keep hammering home in a little bit that does worry me a little bit. But anyway, in addition to that, we have the next tier, which is PlayStation Plus Extra, which will include, essentially, I believe it's around 400 or up to 400 games from a PS4 and PS5 catalog. This will include some first-party stuff like God of War, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, and Returnal, as well as third-party stuff like Death Stranding and Mortal Kombat 11. But we don't know the full extent of the library just yet. We also know for sure that PlayStation first-party games will not launch day one into that library, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And then last but not least, the PlayStation Plus Premium, and then I promise I'm almost done, is essentially a little bit like combining PlayStation Now, PS Plus, and some other stuff. You'll get another library of around 340 extra games that are PS1, PS2, PSP, and PS3 games. PS1, 2, and P, you'll be able to download those games and actually play them natively on your system. PS3.
I've never heard it put like that before.
I've never heard that before.
That's why I said it. I thought it sounded awful, so I wanted to say
it. I'm not the only one that was like thrown off.
I had to catch that because it was like, before you make that a thing. If you say it enough, people will get used to it. But for the first time, I just have to put the alert out. That was weird.
I mean, I'm gonna hold off a joke I just thought of to keep it family friendly, but we'll talk later. Anyway, on that tier, PS1, 2, 3, and P games will be available. The PS3 games are only streaming. Streaming can also be carried out on via your PS4, PS5, and PC. Premium members will also receive some time-limited trials for some games, like we've seen Sony experiment with in the past. It's worth, of course, mentioning that PS Now is something that isn't available worldwide, so some of these tiers are different in certain territories. The PlayStation blog, as well as our IGN article, digs into some of that stuff. Some things will be changed, but just to quickly touch on price, PS Plus Essential stays the same as your PS Plus. PS Plus Extra will cost, this is US dollars, $15 a month, $40 quarterly, or $100 a year. And then PlayStation Plus Premium will cost $18 a month, $50 quarterly, and $120 yearly. I think that's all of the table setting I can do. I think I've caused enough problems by saying PS1, 2, and P. Just to start there from a top-down view, especially, the past few weeks of stuff that we've talked about. I do want to start with you, Brian, because you haven't, been with us to talk about some of these rumors and things. What is your just initial, gut reaction to this announcement and the tiers that are offered?
First off, thanks for having me back. It is wonderful to see you all, and you've done a phenomenal job with the show, and this is great. It's like coming home. I love, not PlayStation home, don't want to go there again, but this show, this is great. My sort of initial thought was that this is kind of underwhelming, and I think that was because of the way the announcements were rolled out specifically. A, this is something that's not really going into play for another couple of months, and B, we didn't get a significant look at the software lineup. That said, once the dust settled a little bit, I like it a lot. I think it's going to be something that, whether or not you subscribe for months or you jump in for a full year and like really get the most value out of it, because obviously you will save some money if you go for the annual plan. This will be a cool thing to kind of dip into different tiers on a month-to-month basis, depending on what's there. That's going to make or break everything, right? The software. Seeing a lot of the classic game stuff, that was what made me really excited, because we've been saying for months, if not years, on this show that this is something that we've always wanted Sony to take seriously, and I'm glad that they're finally doing it. There were all the stuff like last year and the year before about them delisting games from specific platforms. There was that mad dash that everyone's been doing to get all these games on all these online stores. Nintendo fans were having the same issue recently. So it's cool to have some sort of preservation, to have some sort of way to reach those things. PS3, obviously, elephant in the room. Cell processor was a pain in the ass during that generation, continues to be now. That'll probably never change, even though there's been like significant advancements in the emulation around those games. And I think that the PS5 is probably theoretically capable enough technically to handle some of those things. I feel like the quality is too hit or miss for them to really just put that out there. So streaming's the way to go. I'm not wild about the naming conventions here. I think that essential, extra, and premium are confusing. I think a lot of people tweeted out that, you know, bronze, silver, and platinum might have been the cool way to go. Like, I totally agree with that.
It's right there. Yeah.
It's right there, right? It's right there. But all in all, this is, you know, it's a half-baked announcement right now, but I think when it comes into fruition, it's going to be awesome. And it is that marriage of plus and now that we have all been wanting for a very long time. And it's finally here. That's them doing something that we've wanted. And so credit where it's due. You know, how that stacks up to the other subscription services really depends on how you interface with those things personally. But I think that there's enough here to get PlayStation fans excited. And I think it's going to be a significant value increase over the regular PS Plus right now, which is, you know, frankly, kind of unreliable on a month-to-month basis. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it isn't. So yeah, I'm all for it. I'm excited to see the second half of the announcement when it actually is there, the full lineup of software and stuff like that. But in the meantime, this is absolutely a step in the right direction for them.
Yeah, that was a thing I think a lot of people were asking. And you know, the biggest thing, and I think we'll all probably echo this to a certain extent, is what the final library is going to be. Like, it needs to be worth it to put down that much more money. And if it is something that has hundreds of really cool recent games, even if it's not all the first parties on day one, that can be a very attractive offering. But if it's a lot of stuff that no one really cares about to play right now, it's going to, you know, really make a dent in the interest here. I do think for people wondering why they didn't show off a library right now, and this is coming in June, I think the most common sense explanation is that the fiscal year for Sony ends in 2 days. And so this is an announcement that shows investors, hey, we have a big, new, cool, potential additional revenue stream coming in that will revitalize our subscription services, because those are the hot new thing to do right now. And so I think that's why we saw this now in sort of the paltry way, like to your point, Brian, of like not really getting a full-fledged thing at this
point. It's also, you know, that I think that would undermine a lot of the sales they'd be getting off of that software over the next couple of months too, right?
Exactly.
If they show the full lineup, then that's a full list of games I'm not buying this year, because I know I'm going to be able to play them, you know, as part of a subscription service in June. So it makes sense that like it the announcement itself still felt a little bit early, so we'll see.
That is also completely, they have a massive sale going on the PSN, and I think they're starting a new spring sale, so they probably want that money. But going off of that, Jada, you know, the library notwithstanding, I think that's obviously the big question that we have right now. What do you think about the way they've split these tiers? You know, having that PS4, PS library in the middle, and then having the older stuff at the final tier.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think the middle tier, if I, you know, could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's basically the same price as Xbox Game Pass type thing. It's in at like $15 a month. Right, if I remember correctly, off of that middle tier. So that's $15 a month. So that's the same kind of offering as Game Pass does. So I think it makes sense to kind of give it that kind of apples to oranges kind of feel from the PS Plus service versus Game Pass. So I think a lot of fans will be happy with that. I think there's, you know, like we said, it's going to come down to library. I think we're going to see probably a state of play where they're going to announce some big games, and then they're going to show like, hey, these are all, here's a bunch of games that are coming to PS Plus, 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 Plus library. This is what we're going to get. I know we're keeping the PS Plus collection. We got confirmation for that, correct, Jonathan?
We reached out to Sony and they confirmed we're keeping it. But an interesting thing about the PS Plus lineup for April, they do mention that Persona 5 will be leaving the collection. So I think this is one of the, like, I don't know if there was one near launch. I know they added some games like pre-launch after they first announced it, but I think this is one of the first big, like, hey, a game is leaving. You know, just be warned. But
that's crazy. I think the offering is great. I'm pretty excited to see what PS1, 2, and 3 games I get in the highest tier. I really just want to play the Bouncer from the PS2. It's always my go-to for the PS2. So I'm really excited and hope that makes the list. And then also excited to play the Final Fantasy 13 collection, whether it's streaming or not, via streaming or whatever. I'm happy to revisit that collection without having to plug in my 60 gig PS3 and put in the discs. I don't like putting discs in anymore. I'm all digital, baby. All digital.
I mean, like, speaking to that with, like, the Final Fantasy 13 collection, a lot of people were like, oh, are we going to see classics from Capcom and Square and stuff like that? And I hope, but we also see them remaster those games a lot. So It's that toss-up of some of those games have been on Game Pass, so we might see, like, the PS4 remaster of Final Fantasy VIII rather than the original version of Final Fantasy VIII from the PS1. Right. Like, we could see stuff like that start to roll onto the platform. But
I think a lot of companies got wise since, like, the Nintendo Wii eShop era, instead of, like, making $5 off of those on somebody else's platform. They've just been collating those games into collections, which is, you know, as long as there's a solution, I'm happy for it.
And I think that speaks to, it's sort of an unspoken thing, but around the launch of the PlayStation Classic, it was like, well, where are most of these classics? You can buy most of them as either remakes or remasters. So those companies want you to buy that money. Is probably what happened there. And we'll probably see a little bit of that here. But Mark, I do want to throw to you as well, because, you know, before we plan the show, you have talked about on the show as well of how the higher nostalgia tier is less of an interesting thing for you. So I am curious, like, what in general, is there anything in that tier that would interest you to upgrade to there? Or is it really going to be what's in the library of that middle tier?
Yeah, you shouldn't have thrown to me, because now I'm going to say three things that people are going to be mad at, but I'm going to say them anyways. I've said it before on the show, and it's things other people have said as well, so I don't think it's that controversial. There are way too many video games coming out every single day, right? If no other games came out for the rest of the year, I would probably still have a game to play for the rest of the year, just from what's come out so far. So this idea of 300 and plus classic games just doesn't really interest me. I'm probably not gonna go back and play Dark Cloud 2 ever again, or Legend of Dragoon. Like, I'm just probably not going to. Can you guys still hear me? All of a sudden, got really quiet. Okay,
we're letting you talk.
No, it's fine. The big, like, elephant in the room is, right, is like, is this a Game Pass competitor? And it's like, the middle tier, that's a lot of games. It said 400, right? That's a lot of PS4, PS5 games. But the big thing that Game Pass has that PlayStation's going to outright refuse to do probably forever is put their first party games day one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to this thing where you're like, well, does that make it better than Game Pass? And it's like, oh, I don't know. You're judging a platform's first party content, right? Game Pass can put Xbox games day one for the games they own, but how many of those are there actually, right? So that's the first thing that's going to piss a lot of people off, is me saying, like, what are they losing by doing that? There's only been, you know, last year we got Halo and Forza, but it's like, what else was there before that, right? Where PlayStation has a healthy first party lineup that they're putting out. Xboxes will supposedly come eventually, but it's like, it's not here now, so it's not really a thing where it's like we're getting a big first party Xbox game for free on Game Pass every single month, where for PlayStation that would have already been a couple of games. Just, well, okay, so Horizon this year, but seemingly God of War, Forspoken, like the
Gran Turismo.
That's not first party, but yeah, Gran Turismo. Like, there's that's a little like apple and oranges comparison right there. Until Xbox starts producing first party games every single month, right?
Till those start to launch, yeah, no, 100% agree,
right?
Mark.
Which a lot of those games we don't even know when they're coming, right? We know Starfield's coming this year, but like, where is Avowed? Where is Fable? Where is Dark Cloud? Like, Until that value comes.
Do you mean Perfect Dark?
What did I say?
You said Dark Cloud.
I said Dark Cloud again. Really, I meant Perfect Dark.
I was like, are you announcing something?
You do want
to go back and play Dark Cloud, Mark.
You really do, yeah.
Maybe
I do. That game's got really good music. Man, I do love that game.
I love the first one.
Maybe I will play it. But then...
just to quickly to your point, I just wanted to mention the first party lineup thing. It's definitely something that, Jim Ryan confirmed they are not going to be doing that right now. For, you know, obviously we do not know the machinations of everything that happens behind the scenes, but Jim Ryan has said he doesn't believe it would be viable for their studios to produce at the scale that they are to not sell those games as full price games. Obviously that is different to what Xbox is doing right now. And Mark, to your point, we are waiting to see a lot of the fruits of those acquisitions still. We do know of a bunch of games, but like you said, that stuff is probably 2023 and beyond for a lot of it.
So like the thing is, regardless of the, you know, software library comparisons there, and you can go, you know, apples, oranges, however you want to, it really comes down to like, do you like Gran Turismo? Do you like Forza? Do you like Horizon? Do you like Halo? I think those are all big hitters. And I think they're a little more equal than we're giving them credit for, A. But B, a lot of those games on Game Pass that were day one to give away for free, or, you know, air quotes free, I hate saying that, also charted on MPD. You know, there's a conversion rate where people will download those games and then they will purchase them. They will use that subscription to get a reduced, you know, price on buying them at launch. So I think that to hear PlayStation sort of, you know, shoo away from that kind of stuff is, no pun intended by saying shoo, is kind of, you know, I think it's a little disingenuous, because there are definitely ways to booster the value of these subscription services while still having your core audience purchase those games in mass and having them chart on MPD. So I do think, and not just MPD, like every metric that is clocking these things globally, like Forza was tracking everywhere for a while. Halo was too. I can't speak to how long those things stuck around. I think that like PlayStation games tend to have a little bit more of longevity when it comes to some stuff like that. But they're also, you know, I think what Sony needs to start doing, not necessarily needs to, but their values right now are like on kind of like these narrative focused single player games. They're decidedly kind of like less inclined to pump microtransaction stuff into their games. Now, I know I say that right after Gran Turismo just came out, and that was a big stink.
There's
multiple ways to make value off of your games that isn't just selling them for $70. Like, I do think you can give them away or not give them away, you know, put them in on a service and then still sell them. Or you can do like Uncharted 4 has microtransactions, right? Like there are ways to be like, this is a strong core single player game. And then there's optional stuff in the margins for people who want to continue to give it money. So I do think it doesn't have to be that black and white personally.
Yeah. Forza did a little bit of a, they did a little bit of a different thing. Now, don't get me wrong. Forza was my game of the year last year, but it got a lot of its initial sales because they sold the game early before it hit Game Pass. Whether you want to call it a beta or whatever the heck they called it, I think they called it early access. It doesn't matter. That game did release, I think it was like 3, 4, or 5 days early if you bought it. So the big Forza fans that are going to want to rush in there and like get their names on the leaderboards didn't really have an option. They had to buy the game or wait for the free Game Pass version, right? So that game was a little different. The other point I wanted to mention, and this is something some comments got very upset about when I said it, but this is a pro to Game Pass, is that the Game Pass value is up a little bit for me because I'm also a PC gamer and Game Pass is on PC. Now, before you say this is on PC, no, the hell it is not. It is absolutely not on PC. Like, Spartacus is not, it has PC streaming. You are streaming PS4 and PS5 games to your PC, but it is not a PC version. Where Xbox Games Pass for PC, you are playing PC versions of games. You are getting mouse and keyboard support. You are getting video options, whatever. If you stream Bloodborne to your PC, you're not playing the PC version of Bloodborne, right? So that's the difference there for me, is that Game Pass is only $15 a month, but you're getting a whole library of PC games as well, which is very valuable to me sometimes, because there are a lot of times where I play a game on console and I'm like, nope, I would rather play this on computer. And to be able to just switch over to my PC and there's this hub of Game Pass for PC games that I can then install and actually be playing the PC version of those games is very, very valuable to me, where this is still just a console exclusive service with PC streaming there mm-hmm. is a difference. And if you don't understand the difference, I don't know how to explain it more clearly than that.
I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, no, and I think one of the big things that, you know, we have to really give kind of think about is Game Pass started out, and it was fine when it started out. It's really started to pick up steam in the last 6 months to a year, where it's gotten a lot more marketing. They've been putting a lot more bigger things on it. This is, you know, PS Plus's first, this is their first step on that journey of building this subscription service. So we're going to see more things get evolved and added into these tiers as time progresses, because, you know, Game Pass didn't have EA Play right at the start. That's a very recent thing, I think probably within the last 6 months. I can't remember the timing. But I think we're going to see more stuff like that. We may see Crunchyroll get added into the premium tier or something like that. But like, PlayStation's not going to over-deliver all this stuff that may be underutilized and be financially irresponsible right off the bat. And then, because if they do that, then if they take it away, like, hey, this isn't being used by more than 10% of our users. Why are we, you know, including this for free when we could charge for this extra outward where we had a better subscription base? So, and then they look like the villain if they take stuff away. So they're going to start mm-hmm. small and they're going to build upon it. And that's what Game Pass has done. I think that they've had a really smart marketing plan for that. And that hopefully Sony has the same kind of thing geared up and ready for us.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world. That ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
No, yeah, that's No, you go ahead, Brian.
Real quick, I was just gonna say, Jada, that you bring up an absolutely perfect point. That is that's one of the things I was thinking about yesterday about just having PlayStation constantly in that sort of buzz around the conversation. Twitter's obviously not real life, right? But like, social media does have an impression. And waking up on a Tuesday morning and being like, hey, this game got added to this PlayStation tier today. If you want it, you can start playing it as of tomorrow. That's cool. Like, that's one of those things mm-hmm. where these are micro announcements that keep that service buzzing. They keep people happy. They keep consumers wanting to jump in and play more. And I think that that's like doing that once a month with 3 games that are kind of like you may have played already. Maybe you didn't for some odd reason that everyone is taking turns with that SpongeBob game from 20 years ago in the last 2 months. No idea why. I don't know who wakes up and decides to give that game away to everyone, but they did. So I think that like having that tweet once a month is one thing, but coming up every couple of days or every week or so or every 2 weeks and being like, hey, these games just hit, go check them out. That's super cool.
Yeah, totally. Mindshare is a very big, important thing in those online conversations. And as you said, it's not the end all be all because a lot of people don't interact with any of that stuff. But for the really checked in audience, mm-hmm. to have those daily updates of like, or weekly even of, oh, another game is coming to Game Pass. It makes a difference, I think, to people's perspective of things. And yeah, this gives PlayStation an opportunity to now do that back and forth. But yeah, Drita, to your point, I think like you totally nailed it. They're gonna start smaller than go big because one, mm-hmm. I was talking to Ryan McCaffrey about this a lot because we're planning for another show and we were talking about how like, just exactly to your point, Jada, Xbox started kind of smaller with Game Pass and it improved over time. And they also made Game Pass because at the end of the day, during that period, Xbox was recovering from the stumbles of the beginning of the Xbox One generation. They were still acquired, like the very beginning days of their acquisitions, getting back into the flow of a lot of consumer friendly, forward facing stuff. But they needed a Game Pass. They needed something to bring people to them. I don't think PlayStation sees this as a need right now in terms of getting the audience to mm-hmm. them. I think they see this as more a complementary addition to what you get. And whether that's a right or wrong way to look at it, I'm not saying it is necessarily. I think you could probably make arguments for both, but I think that's a little bit more the perspective right now. And so it is going to be interesting. I totally agree with you to see how this evolves over time. And I do think, first party aside, because that's just the reality, we're not going to get day one stuff. I don't think they're going to tell us you'll get this game 1 year after it comes out or 6 months after it comes out, because again, it creates that cycle of, well, I'll just wait for the game. I think it will be a little bit case by case. The thing that Xbox still does that PlayStation can do is third party day one stuff. And whether that's putting big indies day one on PlayStation Plus at the, I guess, extra tier, extra and premium, putting them day one indies, third party games, stuff like that. I think obviously the game kind of came and went last year, but Outriders being day one on Game Pass, I think gave that game a pretty big boost day one. It's still going to be very weird to see MLB The Show day one on Game Pass and probably not day one on PlayStation Plus. But, they have games like that. They have games like A Plague Tale Requiem and Atomic Heart coming day one. I think PlayStation needs to find those games as well if they want this service to live like a Game Pass-like thing. If they don't, we'll find that out once we know the library. But I think that is an essential thing they can do, and I mm-hmm. hope do if they want to be competitive.
And I think it's easy. It's like the most minor thing, but I feel like it kind of plays into a big deal when it comes to like Twitter and stuff like that, which again is not real. Is that I'm super surprised that they didn't name it something other than just these like vague tiers, right? Like to be able to play games online on Xbox is called Xbox Live, right? Xbox Live Gold. But Game Pass is what people refer to, right? Like you saw all the tweets yesterday and it's just like Game Pass. That's synonymous with like great value, right? PlayStation Now has been like a tarnished, like not great name. Like people hate it. People call it the streaming service, even though it's had downloadable games on it for years. Not a good name. So let's get rid of that. But the fact that they're just calling it PlayStation Plus is like a little weird. You would think that they would have came up with something a little flashier to, PlayStation whatever, right? Other than just like PlayStation Plus, because nobody's going to remember these tier names. I just saw them on the screen and I already forgot them all.
Yeah, so, no, I know one
of them's called Essential. I don't know.
I don't think this solves for the naming convention issue they've had with these platforms for years now. In fact, that was part of the sort of disappointment for me here was it was just like, okay, so you have these two brands and one of them has a pretty significant attach rate in terms of your active users are subscribed to it. They're engaged with it. And then you have PlayStation Now, and PlayStation Now was reached by paltry numbers compared to what are two back-to-back global gargantuan consoles, right? Just gigantic. And so for me, it was just like, okay, so you sunsetted one name, you rolled it into the other, but then you kind of like over convoluted the tier system on the other. And I was like, you just moved confusion from one place to another. Like that doesn't necessarily, and I'm sure like once we all say them enough, we'll get used to them and stuff like that. But I totally, totally agree with that there. Like there still isn't like, this is one name that encapsulates everything. It tells me everything. I still don't know. Like, I mean, I think even right down to the granular nature of it, right? Like, you're going to have some games that you can download and some games that you can stream, and some games are day one, but they're old, but then there's new ones that aren't, but they're not in this tier or this tier. So I do think they got a little bit of time to workshop that, but it's, they have the groundwork there for something awesome. I think that the services are great. I think that the naming conventions are still a little confusing. So we'll see. Maybe we'll settle into it, right?
Like, just on a connotation level, to me, essential sounds more important than extra.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. I thought essential was the highest tier one. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, I think that might be the lowest tier one.
If I made you a sandwich, which I'd be happy to do, what would you consider the essential parts, right? Like the bread and the meat and the cheese, probably, right?
If you add cheese, it becomes premium.
I was like, do you want anything extra? You wouldn't name the things that I just named back there. You'd be like,
yeah,
I mean, like,
makes sense.
You know, like onions, pickles, like that. Those are extras, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's right. Those are
the essential part of making the sandwich.
Like, essential makes sense as like, this is the thing you need to be able to play online for PlayStation. Sure.
Right.
I feel like they could have just gone PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Plus Extra, PlayStation Plus or premium. Like, I think leaving the base tier as PlayStation Plus probably would have been simpler, but yeah, it is. I think they very much wanted to hold on to the PlayStation Plus name, because I think the last report, and obviously we'll get some new ones, I wouldn't be shocked if it crosses the 50 million mark, but the last report was 48 million subscribers for PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Now, I think the last report was 3.2 million. You know, which is a huge gap. And obviously the Plus name has a lot more brand recognition, value. They don't have to change as much wording on the things. It like on an ease of use level it becomes. But the way they put out those tiers, I think, you know, mentioning earlier, the trophy tiers was right there. It's right there. It's a part of the PlayStation identity. It does instill some confusion, but yeah.
They could have just called it like PlayStation Pass. Honestly, it's like a total ripoff, and it like puts them in direct competition, but like it completely like makes it make sense, right? Because Xbox Live Silver and Gold have been around since forever, right? So then it wasn't confusing, and it's like Game Pass. And then eventually, after years, they're like, now Gold and Game Pass are the same thing, right? Like,
right.
You know, and you just call it Game Pass, and that's just what you're used to. This is like,
I wonder if they stayed away from the Silver Gold because Xbox has already previously used those in the past, and they're trying to, you know, make that distinction of themselves from this, because this isn't necessarily being used as a competitor for Game Pass. It's like Jonathan was saying earlier, it's being used as an extra for the members who are on PlayStation. It is not required. It's, you're getting, you know, the same price of $60 a year, you're getting the same thing you've always got with PS Plus. That's the beauty in the tier system. I know a lot of people I've seen online are really happy about the tier because they can kind of either stay the course, or if they want to invest more, they can invest more. But I think, I think they're trying to really separate this. Like, we are not putting this up to compete with Game Pass, even though it is very apples to oranges, like I said earlier. I think that we're just really, they're really trying to separate them from that kind of conversation. Sony is really very much kind of like Nintendo, where they've always kind of tried to do their own thing. And so I think they're, again, trying to just kind of run their own race here. It's a marathon for one, you know.
So I have like 2 or 3 years of built up PlayStation Plus. What rolls over? What tier do I get?
A few people have asked these. PlayStation Plus, if you're subscribed and it rolls over in June, you just stay on the Essential tier. Essential is PlayStation Plus, essentially.
The lowest tier one.
Yes, correct. That is the lowest tier. And then I believe, and Red, if you want to scroll down on the page for those who want to read the full minutia on video, I believe with PlayStation Now, as one of the asterisks that they did, I believe you then get rolled into PlayStation Premium at no additional cost for the duration of your current subscription, I believe is how it goes.
I'm asking half because I'm confused, and the other half to prove a point. This is something that is like, this blog post is just a whole lot of just words and PS1s and 2s and P's, and it's like kind of confusing. I'm just gonna wait till June and then just see what I have access to then see if I need to upgrade or not.
Well, and some people that like you, a few people had asked me, hey, I have PlayStation Plus banked for the next 3 or 4 years because they got it cheap via sale. Can I upgrade at a reduced cost, or am I gonna have to like cut off my subscription and restart? We don't know. I hope there is an upgrade. If there's not, that is garbage
to make me have to like cancel. That's a great point. Like, if all of a sudden that becomes useless, like, that's ridiculous. Because it is. I did what I think a lot of people do, which is like, oh, it's Black Friday. You can get a year of PlayStation Plus for like very cheap. And I think I just bought like 2 or 3 of the cards and just put them all on my account. I'd never have to worry about this again. So, like, did I make a mistake? I guess we'll find out in June.
I mean, the $1 for upgrading your subscription for $1 was such a genius marketing decision for Microsoft and Game Pass, because I haven't put as much time in my Xbox in the last generation as I would have liked, just because I haven't, just hasn't been the draw there for me. But I still, when that came out, I maxed out my Xbox game subscription and then upgraded to Game Pass for a year. It expires, I think, this year in December, finally. And I may have only played like 20 or 30 games in the last 2-3 years on my Xbox, but I still like, it was a worthwhile investment for me to play those $20-$30 games, or 20 to 30 games, not dollar games. But yeah,
I followed it.
Jada only plays, she only plays $20-$30 games a year.
That's it. $20-$30 games a year. That's my perfect spot.
Mark, you mentioned a lot of words in the PlayStation blog. I completely agree. One was missing. Vita.
Yeah,
I know.
Like,
I
get
it. We had that discussion yesterday. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it, because it's like, it's, you know, there was the back touch and the touch screen and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's the plan there? That is, you know, that is part of the legacy. It is, you know, that is immensely, I was about to say immensely successful system, immensely beloved system. Many of us remember.
Yes.
Vita is life.
Oh, several of us liked it. I'll scale it.
Hey, I've been using my Vita.
A number of people liked that console.
But no, I mean, you're totally right. It is that weird thing of there would be a lot of control adaption issues, and that is probably where this comes from. But you do get stuff of, you know, I was talking in our planning meeting, obviously Persona is really important to PlayStation. Persona 4 Golden, you can only play on a PlayStation console right now on PS Vita. You know, if you want to play the entire Uncharted series, Uncharted Golden Abyss is only on Vita. Media Molecule ported Tearaway to PS4, and it's great, and you should play it if you haven't. But you get, and stuff like Danganronpa has been ported and collected and stuff like that, but you do miss out on things like Uncharted and even like Super Stardust. I don't know if that ever came.
Soul Sacrifice. Sacrifice was a big one on Vita.
Yeah.
Ragnarok Odyssey Ace. I think that one might have got ported, but I can't remember for sure.
There's definitely some porting, but
it's a weird thing that it's like, like they would have to go to Sony Bend and be like, hey, make a version of Uncharted that now works on on PS5. Like, I just don't know if that's something that they're willing to do, because the game has, I can't remember if they're shaking in it, because I don't remember if that game, if that console had,
there's a lot of like rubbing the
but
dirt,
there's a lot of
bosses.
It's like, oh, there's a clue and stuff like that, and you had to, you know,
favorite mechanic.
Remember, you had to blow on the console, and it was the microphone. It was like you would pick something up and it's like
I'm pretty glad no one is making us do that anymore, by the way. There was a minute where a bunch of companies were making
DS
it. I remember
games.
I was playing like Spirit Tracks on a train. Like a real train, and it was so loud. It was just, and the, I forget what it was, but something was just like spinning. It was a logo on the front screen of the game. It was just like spinning like crazy.
Oh yeah.
Because they thought I was screaming into it, and I'm like, don't do that.
Oh my gosh.
Shut that.
Yeah, I remember doing that. It was like blow into the microphone, and it was like I would do that and it wouldn't pick it up, but if you just was like, ah, it would work so much better. It's like you pick up an ancient scroll and it's like blowing at you. Ah, okay, now I can read it.
And I mean, go ahead, Jada.
I was gonna say, I always adopted the whistling technique. I would just whistle into the microphone, and that worked really well.
That works.
So
yeah, it is, you know, it is one of those things where it's like, I would, obviously the money probably isn't there, but I wouldn't mind if they found a way to port it, because also that's an accessibility thing. Not everyone can use their mouths like that to be able to play a mechanic. But it is also, Yeah, I'm really glad they haven't done that because the PS5 does have a microphone on the DualSense. They could have brought that back.
No,
it's technically there.
Stop giving them ideas.
Anyway. Don't do that. Nobody do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Please don't do that. I'm fine.
It is one of those things, you know, to go back sort of the like central question of, is this a thing that's going to be worth it? Is it exciting? I think the short answer is potentially. We just need all the details and we don't have them yet. I do think it is an announcement that was not an exciting announcement, but could be something exciting in the future. And Jada, to your point, even if it's not exciting day one, if PlayStation doesn't see the return on investment, if they continue to see losing players or you know, shifting mm-hmm. of focus and in the subscription service space, people going for other options, they might start to get more competitive with that. So it is a mm-hmm. thing of this may, you know, we may be talking about PlayStation Plus Premium very differently a year from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dornbush, did you see that guy on Twitter that was like, well, Dornbush called this, it was a blog post. That's all it was.
Again, I think that speaks to where Sony's focus is right now. This is not a thing that they, you know, and granted Game Pass was introduced as kind of an Xbox blog post as well, but this is not something that is, you know, the God of War release date announcement during a State of Play or a PlayStation showcase, and here's a description of all of our tiers of a PlayStation service. They're just not going to do that this
way. Could you imagine like them trying to explain all this? It would be a 20-minute State of Play, just them reading and trying to explain how to essential sandwich stuff. Like, it's so, like, it'd be the worst State of Play ever.
I mean, sandwich metaphor.
Sorry, that sounds not. Great. I feel like I knocked it out of the park back there. I could help them with that.
Just, I agree.
Imagine
I
would... Jim Ryan just making a sandwich and see this ham. That's essential. This lettuce is premium.
Oh my god!
That was my Jim Ryan impression. I don't know if
I figured. I guess. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think, again, this was an announcement the way it was done for shareholders to get honestly the unexciting part of it out of the way, because telling people about all the money they're going to spend, even if, you know, if the library is there, a year of PlayStation Plus extra, I still have to keep the names in mind, is cheaper than a year of Game Pass. But if the mm-hmm. libraries aren't there and people are making that decision, they're probably not going to go for extra. So it's really going to depend on those libraries when we're getting games. I do think it's cool that we're seeing stuff as recently as Returnal and Miles Morales, because honestly, I mm-hmm. was a little afraid we wouldn't even see that recent, but mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. glad we are. I know that's like, you know, finding a silver lining, but yeah, I think there is potential here. Before we move on though, Jada, I do know a lot of people wrote in. Thank you to everyone who replied to my tweet asking about impressions. Do you want to read just a couple of those off before?
Yeah. So first up, we've got Chris P. At Chris, I'm going to butcher this, Chris Pachowski. I butchered that, and I apologize. Feeling good overall. I'm going to wait for more details. How long are the trials? What are the discounts? Are only limited games getting trials? Will save data transfer? Is PS Plus collection gone? We're essential now.
We know that one at least.
And we know that one at least. Yeah. I feel like there's more info to come. And that's kind of been our discussion. But yeah, I mean, he brings up good points. Like, we don't know how long the trials are going to be. Are they going to be 2-hour trials, 5-hour trials, 10-hour trials? Like, are we going to get trials for every game? Like, who knows?
I really hope they don't include download times like their tests did. That was really kind of...
Yeah, that was painful.
That's weird.
I mean,
remember
I have
what
really
they used
fast
to do
internet?
On 3DS, where if you played it too many times, it just... They got a counter.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yep.
Don't do that either.
Yeah. That's bad. That's bad. Next up, we've got Jay's Game Corner at Just Games 1984. Just underscore Games 1984. All I've wanted is the chance to play the classic PS1 games I've grown up with again, so I'm going with Premium. I'm right there with you. I want to play some of those old school great games.
If Brave Fencer Musashi's on there, I'm in. All right,
there you go.
That'll sell me.
And Dark Cloud.
Yeah, my little conspiracy theory about that also is that they put the nostalgia stuff at the top tier because they know that's for a smaller but dedicated audience, and chances mm-hmm. are that audience, mm-hmm. if they want that, is going to pay for it. I know that's not ideal, but I think that's 100% why it happened. I do want to say I've seen a few people ask it, and I don't know if it's in any of the questions, Jada, so apologies if I'm blowing mm-hmm. up someone's spot, but I think a lot of people have been like, well, I bought PS1 classics on my PS3. Am I going to just get those back? I don't think
no way.
So.
No.
Yeah, I would I don't love think so, that.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But I don't think so.
I have so many downloaded games on my Vita. Like, yeah. I bought so many because I was like, this is great. I can play my PS1 games on the go. This is amazing. And I don't see it coming. Let's see. Bridget at Skyward Siren. I love that at name. That's pretty great. I want to see the libraries, but most likely we'll upgrade to premium. The access to older titles, game trials, and yearly plan, which is way cheaper than monthly, all have my interest piqued. I'm hoping folks note that this was never intended to be a one-to-one Game Pass competitor. Again, that's what we've been talking about. Like, Sony's mm-hmm. doing their own thing.
To piggyback on that real quick, I just want to say, I think it's how you approach those platforms is what you'll get from them. If you approach Game Pass as a place to play big day one releases and not like a quantity over quality, like I approach Game Pass like quantity over quality, right? Like I check in every few days and I just go, what's new? Let me download some games here and there. It's where I played a game, like little games like Unpacking. I'm playing Tunic now. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like the big AAA, you know, giant marketing media blitz games and stuff like that. But that's the way I plan on approaching this system as well, this platform, because it's more about just like, there's a whole bunch of options here. I'm bored. I want to play something. Even like there's a button on Xbox. It's like a, you know, it's like that I'm feeling lucky button on Google or the, mm-hmm. which is they'll just boot up a random ass game for you. Sometimes I do that because I'm just like, there's like a, like choice fatigue is an actual thing on streaming platforms. Everybody knows that. They sit down and watch Netflix and an hour later they're like, well, I've seen all the rectangles that we have options for. I give up and you just go to bed. So yeah, I totally agree.
I did that last night. So yep. I know that well.
All right. So I got two more. We'll go roll through real quick. So we've got Steve Semple at Semple_Steve. Personally, I don't have enough time to play all the current games, let alone all my old favorites. I'll be sticking with Essential. I feel like this is Mark's other persona. What I'd have loved to see... your alternate account. What I'd have loved to see was maybe a small token towards first-party games, even like 5 to 10% off all new releases. I'd pay extra for that. I agree. I think they should kind of follow in the footsteps of Game Pass of giving that discount if you're a subscriber to the service and you play the game and, you know, do that. I think that's a great idea.
We do know that at least starting with PlayStation Plus Essential, there are exclusive discounts, but I think that's kind of where things are currently is essentially during big sales, you get like an extra 5 to 10% off.
Yep.
But yeah, I think like to that point, if that was built into you're paying for premium, okay, every Sony game you can buy for, you know, $5 off or something like that, I think would go a long way. Again, that is just math I'm throwing out there. I don't know if that makes business sense, but I think that would help ingratiate people into this maybe a bit more.
Yep. And final one, we've got Edward Varnell, Boss Rush Network at the Retro Code. I'm sticking to the base plan. If the game releases include imports never released in America, I may upgrade. But since it's just Game Pass, but on Sony's platform with Sony's first party, they really need to deliver strong content if they want me to subscribe. And I agree. I think imports would be huge. I think we started seeing some never released in America games. On the subscription service, I think that could be another big draw for people who just never got a chance to try some of these, especially for some of those more niche PS1, PS2 games that never made it to America. That would be huge. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's what we got from community. Thank you everybody who wrote into Jonathan's prompt. Those were great. Great questions and thoughts.
A lot of really awesome. And I think along the lines of where we're at, where it is sort of a wait and see approach, unfortunately, obviously we know a date, like we know to look forward to June. So chances are in May, we'll have some stuff to be able to talk about and dig a little bit deeper and know what that library is like. I am really excited to find that out. I think that is going to be make or break for pretty much everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm cautiously optimistic seeing stuff like Returnal and Miles Morales in there, and especially for people who are, you know, just getting a PS5, as limited an audience as that may be while supply chain issues are still a thing. I do think that is a really great option going into the future of like, hey, these are four or five at least of the best PlayStation first party games that came out in the 3 years that you didn't have a PS5. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to this thing even for 3 months and you get those, and that is a good thing. But yeah, we'll have to see what the full library is like.
I'm really looking forward to the State of Play in June where Brian's on stage with PlayStation making a sandwich and explaining this here. I think it's going to happen. I think he's put it out in the world and it's going to happen. Wait. I'm excited for it.
It's the only way I'll understand this.
I'm gonna have a debate on stage live with Shuhei to be like, wait, is mayonnaise and mustard, is that like extra or essential? Because that's a dry ass sandwich if it's not there to begin with. Should be there. I think it's essential personally. And he's like, I disagree.
I really want Subway for lunch now. I don't know why.
What?
I don't know what's caused this.
That's a really great stream though of someone reacting live to a showcase and just making a sandwich based on what's announced.
If you sign up for Subway Plus, you will get 300 sandwiches a month.
It's a lot of sandwiches.
Subway Plus coming to a location near you soon.
So Taco Bell did it. They did their like subscription service where you got like a free taco a day, but I think it only lasted like a few days and they took it down because
Everyone who participated in that did not make it, so they're not here to give impressions.
Right. No one's reviewing it. Well, they
they described the experience as amazing until the very end when
that was the last thing they ever said. Speaking of subscription services and PlayStation Plus, it's just worth mentioning, of course, also announced for this coming month for April, while we await this change, the free PlayStation Plus monthly games in April, again, free in quotation marks because you're still paying, beginning Tuesday, April 5th, is Hood, Outlaws and Legends, which will be the PS5 and PS4 version, SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated for PS4, backward compatible, and then Slay the Spire for PS4, which is also backward compatible, I believe.
Slay the Spire is a great game. Oh,
I freaking love Slay the Spire.
I've only heard amazing things by it from both people we work with and both friends of mine who probably upon listening to this episode will be like, finally, you have to play Slay the Spire.
Mm-hmm. I was so apprehensive to give it a try for the long time. I love card games. And I was just like, this kind of looks kind of weird. It doesn't literally, it looks too slow. But then I played it and I was like, oh my goodness, this is so deep. You can play it so quick. And it's challenging. And I love it. Like, I probably used to spend like 2 hours a night before going to bed playing Slay the Spire because I was just so addicted to this game. So definitely give this one a try if you like strategic card games.
You should also try Monster Train if you've never played that, Jada, because it's kind of in the same vein, but that game's
I've heard that's really good. I'm going to have to download it on my Game Pass.
I feel like Slay the Spire, there's people who are like, oh, I haven't tried it yet, it looks interesting. And there's people who are like, I've lost years of my life to this game.
It's either or. There's no
the two. There is none.
They're like, don't do it. They're holding like a lantern in an alley and they're like, don't go there.
I've been lost in these caves for eons.
You'll never put it down.
The spire still rises. It's all available April 5th for you. The rest of the games are available until Monday, April 4th from this month. That's Ark Survival Evolved, Team Sonic Racing, Ghost Runner, the PS5 version only, and then Ghost of Tsushima Legends. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Persona 5 will be leaving the PS Plus collection. That's on May 11th. So add that game to your library before then to continue accessing it while you have a PlayStation Plus subscription, or be sensible and wait for P5R, Persona 5 Royal, to go on sale because it is the better version of the game in every way, and you should just play that version. If you can buy it, just play that game. Don't play the base P5 and be like, I should jump into P5R, because you can't transfer your saves. Just a warning. Oof. Anyway,
okay,
if you
I
want...
won't.
Good, thank you. Moving on from there, just to mention some recent other news, we have to, of course, mention the biggest PlayStation news of the week. The Knack trademark was refreshed.
Yeah.
Knack 3, baby!
Knack is back. He's not back yet, but maybe.
He's in a backpack somewhere, being packed up to come back.
As spotted by Gamatsu, the trademark, which was made public today, March 28th, as of the day this article that I'm reading was written.
I can't believe we're showing footage of that.
covers the term for use in several categories, including downloadable or installable home video game machine program and additional data. Anyway, Knack 2 was released in 2017. The series has been dormant since then. I think this is just the trademark being refreshed so that they can add Knack 2 to the PlayStation Plus Extra tier. Yeah, I think Extra would be the one. Knack. It's Knack. Knack has become a running joke, but people
there's a
Knack
tier, and it costs $20 more a month, and it's the same as all the other tiers, but it has Knack.
Someone would pay for it. It's like that. There was a
someone will buy it.
The iOS store that was like, buy this app for $100,000 or something stupid, and it was just to say you bought the app. It did nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it was like a diamond icon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you just bought it to say you bought it. There was literally no other purpose.
God, I have so much regrets about buying that. I feel so stupid. It doesn't even work on the new iOS.
You know what? I don't
immediately
regret...
got outdated.
I don't regret making it and selling it to you, Brian. You were my one customer.
Jada's living large. Brian's in poverty.
I mean, look, I've been trying to tell people for years that I'm a multimillionaire, and I figured my wall of action figures would send the message because a lot of them are at least $11 or $12. And so
I think I got all of mine. I got all of mine from your payday.
That's how you know you're rich, when you're just totally irresponsible and you spend real money on that children's garbage.
Brian, do you remember when I first started? I found like a Google thing, and it was like Brian Altano, IGN, worth $30 million, and I was like, Brian, right? I had no idea. It was a weird thing.
I mean, that wealth has transferred to Jada now, of course. If you look,
to be completely honest, if I was worth a fraction of that, wouldn't be here right now. Love you all. I mean, come on.
100%. Same boat.
Nobody wants to hear what the perceived value of a PlayStation Plus Essential is from a millionaire.
Oh, I don't know, guys, I'm gonna see what the games are. Me. You bunch of brokey.
Oh, Brian, it's gone down. I'm sorry.
Brian. Wow. App, man.
For anyone listening, we're looking at the wiki of net wealth for Brian, which is totally off base.
He has appeared in such films as Up at Noon with Greg Miller, the hit movie, Game Scoop, another hit movie, and the Star Wars show. Yes, awesome. My net worth is still not enough to buy a 2-bedroom home in most of California.
Yeah,
it's not.
And it's still
I just
want
to know which one of these like, made you all that money. Because I've been on Game Scoop, and so it's clearly not that, because my net worth is not. It is not anywhere near that, so it must have been Up at Noon.
Oh yeah, well, when Up at Noon got turned into a movie, we were making 60 cents a day, so it was
all came together. Yeah, it is.
I remember at the end of the Up at Noon movie when Nick Fury shows up, and then he took Greg Miller to Kind of Funny. That's
right.
That's the universe works. Started up. Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. right. And I'm over with like Morbius and Venom.
Oh no!
Does it connect? Does it not? We're still not sure.
No.
That's not great. You're just chilling with Edward Norton. You're like, hey guys, remember? I'm there somewhere.
The Island of Misfit Toys.
Rejected MCU movies.
Oh, man.
Oh my goodness.
Well, speaking
Marvel
of
Marvel Legend
not great
Morbius.
If you buy 5 action figures, you get like one arm of his. It really works out for everyone's benefit. Anyway. Speaking of not great things, of course, as Brian was alluding to and we've talked about in the past, there has been a rocky launch for Gran Turismo 7 when it came both to server connection issues, online always issues, and especially microtransaction stuff. After all of that happened and after we last discussed it, in a PlayStation blog post in the past week, this is from March 25th, I believe, president of Polyphony Digital, Kazunori Yamauchi, apologized for, quote, the frustration and confusion caused last week when the developer reduced the rewards players could earn after the release of the game. Causing many to say that the dev was pushing them toward those microtransactions. The community grew upset over all of these things, and since then, Polyphony Digital said they will give away 1 million free credits, which is worth a little over $10 in the current scheme of things, that will automatically be given to everyone. This was for everyone who had played before March 25th and plays again before April 25th.
B-roll always makes it into our podcast.
It's a really fun message. An update in early April will also be released to improve the economy, implementing the following changes. Income rewards in the events in the latter half of the world circuits will be improved by approximately 100% on average. Addition of high rewards for clearing the circuit experience and all gold, all bronze results. Increase of rewards in the online races include a total of 8 new 1-hour endurance race events to missions. These will also have higher reward settings, increasing the upper limit of non-paid credits in player wallets from 20 million CR to 100 million CR, I assume credits. And then finally, increase the quality of used and legend cars on offer at any given time. They will also be doing a number of other updates in the near term. This includes rewards for limited time events and things like that, online time trials and whatnot. So obviously Polyphony is listening. I don't know how much these will actually change things. I think it will be something we'll look to the player base who is really ingratiated in it. We'll probably have to have Seth back on to see if he ever gets everything that he wants in that game, but at least they're listening.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you know, Brian, you were talking about this a little earlier of how this was a big snafu. As PlayStation gets into a bigger multiplayer or online or live service focused space, this is sort of, I think, born from an era before, you know, they bought Bungie, they bought Haven, they're acquiring new studios and making new games. Hopefully they have learned some good lessons from this in combination with all of that stuff, but certainly not, I think, the launch that they had hoped for here.
No, I mean, I'll straight up say it is, like, frankly nefarious to roll out one version of your game to reviewers, get that Metacritic where you want it, and then pull the rug out for consumers. Luckily, consumers have Metacritic as well, and they were able to voice their displeasure with the MTX situation in this game, and the result is the lowest rated first party PlayStation game in Metacritic history. So, you know, glad that people got to say something. Obviously that's a platform that gets used for evil as often as it gets used for good, so I will mention that. But this, it's sort of a reverse Battlefront situation where reviewers were playing a version of the game that was riddled with, you know, pay to win microtransaction stuff, and then the game came out and the backlash was present on day one, and they reversed it before the audience really got to experience a lot of it, although some of it was obviously still there, or the ghosts of it were definitely still there for a while. And then they did slowly introduce some of that stuff in there again, but while simultaneously winning some goodwill over. This was gross. This was just like, hey, everyone reviewed this game. Cool. Are they gone? Let's screw over the consumers. Like, that sucks. Yeah. That absolutely sucks. And I need to call that out, because that's not fair for the average person dropping exactly how much it costs to get a PlayStation 5 and get these games and sit down and be like, this is my franchise, I love this. And get ripped off like that. It just sucks. I hate that. And then having, you know, the servers come down and they didn't even have access to a game that they paid for. People have limited time to play video games. They play in the margins of all the real they got to deal with every single day. So, you know, that sucked for them. And I'm glad that this is getting better for everybody.
No, I agree. And, you know, I kind of rationalized some of the, like, the economy balancing that games do and stuff like that in the last episode, and I wasn't very vocal about how, like, upsetting it was, because I was trying to be really just composed and very neutral about it. But yeah, it does suck, Brian. You're 100% right. You know, it's not, it, anytime you nerf anything in a game, you're always going to be met with some level of backlash. But when those nerfs start contributing to more money you have to spend in a game for the same thing, that's when it becomes a much bigger issue. And I'm glad everybody spoke up and said their piece, and now it's getting fixed and rewarded. And hopefully this will just be a ghost of, you know, its past that'll haunt it for a little while. But hopefully in a year from now, we won't even, you know, it'll be a very distant memory and we won't even think about it. So we'll see.
Yeah, certainly I think the fervor that we saw from the audience, you know, Brian, to your point, obviously the Metacritic user rating can be used in a lot of awful, horrible ways, but this seemed born of genuine, real frustrations that the audience was dealing with in a completely unfair way toward them. And so to see these changes happening is really great to see. Hopefully it continues to improve if this isn't enough for people. It certainly seems like the GT7 fan base is not willing to be shy about that stuff, which is great, because I you know, it is easy for this stuff to get into predatory places, and especially as PlayStation dips into this more. I hope they obviously learn from this, from the ups and downs of Bungie's work, from other companies doing it. Like, there is enough out there that at this point, especially once they do, what is it, 10 live service games by 2026, there is enough data and enough, you know, stumbles and successes to understand how those economies can be fair enough that hopefully we don't see launches like this again, because it is it's super frustrating for the audiences who just want to play a game they love. Moving on from there, just to quickly mention, as a more a funny thing than anything, GTA Plus also got announced this past week for those looking for another plus to add to their subscription pluses. Mark, I'm just going to throw to you, because you kind of explained this one quickly to me. Yes, people don't really seem to be happy about this one. It seems silly and pointless.
I mean, it all boils down to just the milking of GTA Online. Like, it's not even barely worth going into what the service even gives you, because it's like, people have played this game so much. They have a lot of these things already. One of the big selling points is that you get like $500,000 a month. From what I've seen on Twitter, I don't know enough about GTA Online. From what I've seen on Twitter, 500K is like nothing. Like, if you know how to farm for money, you can get millions an hour. So it's really weird. The funniest thing I've seen about it is that it's like, you know, your service is bad when it makes Fallout First look really good, which was Fallout 76's mm-hmm. subscription service. And I kind of agree. Someone who played Fallout 76, I thought the Fallout First, while still kind of egregious, I thought the subscription service was at least fair. This one is just, it's just boils down to just like how much are they going to milk this game before they, it's like they're working on GTA 6, right? We know that that's a thing. Red Dead Redemption 2 came out in 2018, so it's only been 4 years. It's completely reasonable that GTA 6 is not out yet. A lot of people are saying, well, GTA 5 came out in 2013, right? And it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. but then they made one of the greatest games of all time since then. So let's not forget about that. But GTA Online just continues to be a little bit of a meme, and this subscription service is it got ratioed pretty hard.
The difference between the reaction between the PlayStation thing, which was, you know, genuine discussion, it was excitement, it was concern, it was, you know, mm-hmm. what's going to be here, what's going to be there, versus the GTA Plus thing where everyone was just like, boo!
Seriously,
I follow like a bunch of like people who are like pretty like legit diehard in a Grand Theft Auto Online, and like they're really into it, and they were like, this is a joke, like this is, and I think, like, Mark, to your point, had they not made that announcement about Grand Theft Auto 6 a couple months ago, just to like get everybody off their back, we don't even know when that game is coming out.
Right.
People would have been breaking windows reading. They would have gotten real life GTA on like in the streets. They would have been like, if I hear another thing about this game, like, I feel like we've all already been subscribed to GTA 5 for 10 years. Like, yeah. There's been a version of that game mm-hmm. like every couple of months or every year or two since it launched almost a decade ago. Like, it's just crazy to me. So it was kind of nice for just see everybody at the same time just be like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
It's just like a weird
thing for me, because I do see it a lot as like milking. And there's the whole like thing where it's like hashtag save Red Dead Online, right? Because they've like not supported Red Dead Online as much as they supported GTA Online. The thing is, a lot of people called that because GTA Online is so easy to support, because it's like, you just give people CEO, you give people like crime boss stuff, you give people a DeLorean, a Batmobile, where with Red Dead, you give them what, a gold horse? Like, it's a lot harder of a game to support. And I like Red Dead Online a lot. But the thing that just kind of like, it's just kind of strange to me is the fact that it's like, if you look at the timetable, Rockstar games are incredible, right? They are really, really special games. And GTA 5 came out in 2013. Red Dead came out 5 years later. It has not even been 5 years since Red Dead 2. So if GTA 6 were out this year, that would be insane that they turned mm-hmm. around that game so fast. So it's so baffling to me that people think that that game is like past due, when it's completely not past due. The game is, if it comes out September 2023, that's exactly on par for the course for them. But we also have to remember that ever since Red Dead 2, there's been a lot of trouble at Rockstar. So, and Ryan McCaffrey actually put out a tweet yesterday that said like the pipeline for games is like, it's steady, but you do see it becoming bigger as gamers demand more and more, right? Like, full mocap, full, you know, like Red Dead was such a leap in technology from GTA, and that was only 5 years. Mm-hmm. People are going to expect an even bigger leap from Red Dead for GTA 6. That stuff just kind of like, it takes time. So it's like, the people that are being, I think it's a little unfair to be expecting GTA 6 now. I think that's a little unreasonable.
I'm totally with you. I think people are generally, I think they would generally be more sympathetic to that if they didn't have to keep hearing about GTA 5. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, sure. Like, that's, if you factor that in, I guess.
Yeah. Like, it's not just like the, where's GTA 6. It's the, instead of hearing about GTA 6, they just kept being like, but what about GTA 5? You guys want a little more of that? And we're like, no, we're good. And they're like, but you want a subscription service? Do you want next gen ports? Do you want current gen ports? And we're just like, stop, please, just count to 6 and move on, please. And they announced that they are. They're doing it. They're making it. I think it's going to be, I think it'll be one of the most incredible revolutionary things ever made. It has to be with them. They raise the bar every single time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we'll get there. But in the meantime, you know, screw this.
No. I completely agree with you. I think the option is GTA 6 would not be here no matter what, right?
Yep.
So the option is they stop talking about GTA 5 or they keep talking about GTA 5. I don't think either of those options gets you GTA 6 any sooner. Yeah. Is basically my point.
Well, and as much as they talk about it, GTA Online does make them a continuous amount of a lot of money and right. people buying GTA 5. And so they also don't need to rush. Like you're saying, 5 years would be the sort of baseline expectation next year. I'm not expecting GTA 6 until 2024 at the earliest. And I think that's...
I don't think so either. Yeah.
We'll probably get it right before we get the PS6 and Xbox Series Y ports of GTA 6 because they'll take their time. They can, and they have that option. You know, they have the income coming in. Doesn't seem like they're being rushed by their parent company. So, yeah, we'll see
because
where it goes.
Because people keep throwing money at GTA 5. Like, if you want 6, stop giving them money. It's very simple.
Yep.
You know?
I think my hope, and I think this is something that they'll hopefully do, is that GTA 6 is PlayStation 5 Series X exclusive, right? Like, I think that's what'll make that game very special is if it were coming out this year, there's a good chance that GTA 6 would have also needed to have ran on your 2013 base model PlayStation 4. So I think it's to everybody's advantage that they let more and more PS5s and Series X get into people's houses so that way they can make that game exclusive to those consoles and they don't have to worry about the old version. So it's like, I hate to like weirdly say it, but if it were coming this year, it would not probably be the version you would want anyway. So I think it's better to let it wait. So that way they're not pressured by the platform holders and by themselves to be like, you know what? There's enough PS5s out there. This can be a PS5 only, Xbox Series X only game. No, not have to worry about those old consoles.
If you thought it was a pain in the ass to get a PS5, imagine getting one that, you know, is one of the only 2 or 3 systems where you can play Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yep. Right.
I think this subscription service is, you know, it's obviously not great for anybody who's been playing it for any time length of time. But for the 12 people out there that have not played GTA 5 yet and are deciding to get it now, I think the subscription service will be good for them right as the start for, you know, $6 a month, $500,000. Somebody who's just jumping into the game and learning about it. It's great for them. If it's not for you, ignore it. Move on. But yeah.
Or you can go to IGN's Cheats and Secrets page for GTA 5, which is always one of our highest trending pages, and learn how to make money quick. Anyway, I'm, of course, waiting for Rockstar's Agent, the big game we've all been anticipating from them for some time. And inevitably, obviously, it will come back from the dead. But yeah, an interesting other subscription service, and who knows how many more will be announced in between episodes of Podcast Beyond. But we're actually pretty much out of time, so we'll have to save some of what we're playing for next week. But Brian, since we haven't had you on, I guess sort of a memory card-esque idea. What is just a really memorable moment for you in a game you've been playing recently? Since we haven't had you on to talk about anything.
I mean, without saying the words Elden Ring, I'm just...
What the... That's not fair. I love FromSoft games. I brought my little Eileen the Crow over here, you know, bootleg statue I got from eBay because the real one's too expensive. You know, because I got that up at Noon Money.
Right.
No, just at Elden Ring. That's I guess my thing for that was that, you know, I just finished it recently. I put like 100 something hours into it. I did pretty much everything you can do in that game. I adored so much of it. Hated the last boss. I feel like the entire experience was going on. It was like going on a vacation of a lifetime and then landing and getting stuck on the tarmac in a hot plane for 6 hours and not being allowed to leave. But then afterwards, I was like, I did it. I beat that idiot or both of them. And now I feel better. But phenomenal game. I will say that if you, you've heard enough about it, if you think it's too hard or you think you're not even going to finish it, it's worth playing just to explore. I think it's just a, one of those video game places that is beautiful and worth visiting. So I love it. I'm happy it's, I'm done with it because I feel like I've got, there's significant parts of my life that I can regain control of now. And I can play other games.
A whole lot of other games.
There's other video games. Yeah, look at that. So
well, and I'm excited. Knowing how long you played Bloodborne for over the years, I'm sure you'll come back to it eventually.
Oh, yeah. I already hopped right into a new game plus and started whipping some asses. So
excellent.
Well, and From has a very rich history of DLC. So mm-hmm. It's like, you know that this game, the phenomenon that is Elden Ring, is going to continue to be supported for hopefully years to come.
I think at the start of the year, I crushed through Dark Souls 3 and then did all the extra DLC, the Ring City stuff. And it's phenomenal. It's like, I had so many moments in that game where I was just like, this is amazing. And then it was perfect homework before Elden Ring because it got me very prepped for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully we learn about DLC soon or the potential for Elden Ring Plus, the new subscription service to get new runes every month. Look forward to that next week, Brian.
He made me actually think if I was subscribing. I'm like, I already beat that game. I'm like level 100 something. Like,
but maybe. But anyway, that is pretty much going to do it for this week's episode of Podcast Beyond. Mark, Jada, and Brian, thank you so much for joining me for a very fun, in-depth episode. This was a joy to record with you all. And we appreciate you all hanging out. Brian, as always, good to have you back.
I miss you all. Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. Sorry I've been so busy. I promise I'll come back more often.
It's fine. It's not like event season's just about to start anyway.
Damn it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, you can find us all in between episodes of Beyond on Twitter. I'm at JM Dornbush. Mark is at Mark_Medina. Jada is at Jada_Arena. The underscore is only in the middle. And then Brian is at Agent Bizzle. Thank you all again for joining me. Thank you to Red, our producer, for making this show happen. And thank you to everyone out there for listening and watching. We hope you're doing well. We hope you're staying safe. And as always, Beyond.
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 Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.